So greetings, everyone, and welcome. Hi, my name is Phyllis Francis Wigfall, and I want to welcome you to Breaking Through Your Glass Ceiling, How to Unlock Your Leadership Potential and Take Your Career to the Next Level. So the intention of this summit is to explore the topic of breaking through your internal and external glass ceiling to get to the level of success that you desire. So as most of the interviews in this series, we talk about what it takes to break through to the next level and how to step into your authentic power and become the inspiring leader in your personal and professional life. So I'm your host, Phyllis Francis Wigfall, professional certified coach from awakeninglives.com. And today we have another amazing guest here to share some of her expertise and wisdom to help all of you out there. So I want to share a little bit about our guest, Lisa Jacobs. Welcome, Lisa.
Oh, thanks so much, Phyllis, for having me here today.
Excellent. So Lisa Jacobs is a collaborative attorney, mediator, facilitator, speaker, and trainer. She founded Better Way Divorce, also known as Pono Divorce, where she devotes 100% of her law and mediation practice to support families resolve their disputes using non-adversarial processes. Lisa also mediates divorces and disputes involving extended family members at the Mediation Center of the Pacific, and she helps train mediators there as well. And so Lisa's been practicing, as licensed to practice law in Hawaii for the past 22 years, and so I'm really excited to have her here. And so she's someone who specializes in collaborative divorces, divorce mediation, and family disputes. So welcome, Lisa.
Oh, I'm pleased to be here and love to have this conversation with you.
Yes, and so I wanted to start out by giving you an opportunity to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and to share your story.
Okay, will do. I am basically a person who, like many others out there, I wear many hats. So professionally, as you mentioned, I'm a full-time peacemaker, mediator, collaborative attorney, and facilitator, and I have my own conflict resolution practice here in Hawaii on the island of Oahu. I also volunteer a good amount of my time leading and supporting conflict resolution programs and local nonprofit organizations, too, specifically here in Hawaii. I've also worked as an interfaith minister and facilitator in church and hospice settings. Personally, I'm a mother of three children. Two of them are now adults and one is a teenager. I'm also married to a wonderful and loving husband. We are on our 20th year of marriage, and I'm also an owner of a sweet mixed breed dog. I'm also trying to use I'm also trained and use nonviolent, compassionate communication to enhance my effectiveness in communicating, not only in my professional practice, but also in my personal relationships with my friends and family.
That's great. Gosh, thank you. So this is really cool. And so today's topic is called Holistic Problem Solving and Nonviolent Communication. And so I love that you shared your story and what you're doing. And how did you get to the topic? Like, your passion is about, you know, the problem solving, nonviolent communication. How did you get to that? Like, what had you explore that and become your thing?
Yeah, well, for me, I guess And you talk about glass ceilings here. My own internal and external glass ceilings that I was kind of working with through my life is, for me, the key was attaining self-awareness on my true passions and really trying to find, once I discovered that, finding a way to express that in order to provide value to other people in the community. So kind of going back in my history and my background, as a young child, I tended to be rather quiet and reserved, but a problem solver, and I really had a strong sense of doing the right thing, but I was rather introverted. I found that more of my voice came out in college about 30 years ago when I became interested in journalism, and then after college, I gravitated towards law, mostly with the idea of playing a role as an advocate for underprivileged people. So, you know, my voice came out more in my, I guess you could say, in my late teens and early 20s. So I attended law school on the mainland at Santa Clara University School of Law 25 years ago, and I've been an attorney in Hawaii for the past 22 years. I noticed that in my career as an attorney, I found that there was a tension within me that part of me wanted to be an advocate, you know, to a person or for a cause, and in a sense be like a hero, functioning as a person, as a hero to a cause or a person. But then also there was a part of me that really yearned for engaging in processes which would lead to a more peaceful resolution and to champion those more peaceful processes. So my early part of my professional career, so that was over 20 years ago, it was more focused on being a more traditional lawyer, being a supervising lawyer. But then I did take some time to focus in on my family. I was recently married and I had a young family at the time. So I did take some time off in practicing law. And in that time, I also was getting pretty active in my church, being an interfaith minister, being a chaplain for hospice, facilitating meetings, even like conducting weddings and memorial services and doing a lot of good things, kind of like good social work type of activities for the community and for my church congregation and for hospice patients and their families. So in those 20 years, I discovered that really my passion is to support people through difficult life transitions using my gifts of compassion and problem solving. And one minister colleague, as I moved into this mediation and collaborative divorce practice, one minister colleague so aptly commented that as a hospice minister, I was really supporting individuals and their families through the transition of end of life. As a collaborative kind of divorce mediator and a collaborative lawyer specializing in divorce, I'm supporting families through the transition of, you know, ending or transitioning out of a marital relationship, which is very traumatic. And so I'm there to help them kind of deal with their emotions, helping them point them into towards resources which will help them manage those difficult emotions that come up through a divorce and help them problem solve in a way that they're not going to use their frustration or their anger in a way that's going to be destructive to the family, but kind of manage the negative emotions and make it hopefully so they can get through the process quicker in a way that they can hopefully preserve the relationships that they got and they could be effective co-parents to their children. So, and what also makes my practice, what makes my practice different is I've expressly decided and had made a choice to not do any litigation of any kind. So because, you know, I'm all for trying to do this in a much more peaceful, nonviolent way, I do not take cases that I know are going to involve litigation, either in the present time or if they seem to be contemplating litigation in the back of their mind, then I know that those kind of cases I can't, you know, I will not take because I just, you know, I want to be focused in on problem solving on a peaceful resolution. So I make it clear that I only accept certain cases, which tends to make me even more attractive to people who are really drawn to that, really committed to resolve their problems in a much more peaceful fashion. So it in a way, it's like really helped my business model in making it so I'm very highly niched and people who really want to do it that way know that I'm the go-to person to help them resolve their conflict in that way.
And Lisa, that's super cool because I was thinking, like, as you were talking, it's like, well, gosh, how does an attorney who litigates move into, like, holistic problem solving? But you kind of, you just said so much stuff that kind of put those pieces together, like having a ministry experience. It sounds like you have litigated in the past, but you don't anymore, and that you're moving towards that, you move towards that holistic problem solving and really working with the client towards a peaceful resolution as opposed to having an all-out war in court.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, litigation is a way to solve problems, you know, if you look at a kind of a scale of different ways you can resolve conflict. You know, litigation is on one end of the scale and kind of doing it yourself. Self-help is kind of on the other end. Mediation and collaborative lawyering are more in the middle where you are getting professional assistance, but you're doing it with the intent that, you know, we're going to talk. There are ways that we can resolve this without, you know, using the canon or using the most extreme tool to get what you want. So, yeah, there's a myriad of tools you can use, and I try to, you know, I focus in on the ones that I feel, you know, professional assistance is wanted or needed, but there's ways that we can manage this conflict and get you through the process where, the person that you're in conflict with, hopefully at the end, you can still have a friendly conversation with them or co-parent with them or continue a business relationship with them, that you can still work together or not work together, but still be able to function in society in a dignified way that you're respectful of each other.
Yeah, and that's really cool. So it's like when you consult with people or when you interview people before they hire you, you can tell that they have a certain level of respect for one another, and so that lets you know that this could work out and that you can collaborate and working out the divorce settlement peacefully, as opposed to, let's say, a couple, like the War of the Roses kind of couple that are warring. You're able to decipher, okay, who's willing to respect each other and come to that peaceful resolution. Is that how you discern your clients?
Yes, yes. Typically, one of the spouses will contact me, and I'll get some background information about how things are going and the level of conflict that the couple is having. But I do let them know, the first person who calls me, that, you know, the other spouse, this is a voluntary process. So the other spouse, needs to be willing to try it this way. And so long as we have that and the other spouse is willing and is going to actively participate in helping work out the issues that they're being confronted with, then the likelihood that they're going to be successful in arriving at an agreement that they could both live with is relatively high. Fortunately, my success rate in doing a collaborative divorce or a mediation is about 90%. So 9 out of 10 couples who come to me with that intention that they're really going to work hard to be as respectful and to listen to each other's needs, it tends to work out quite well. And there's a high success
rate.
That's
great.
So
that's highly effective.
Yeah, so it's self-selecting in a way because, if they both have the intent to really try their best in doing it this way and none of this gamesmanship or hiding the ball, we're really going to try to be as transparent in exchanging and sharing information to get you through this process, success rate is quite high, fortunately.
And that's great. And when you find, so it's like, I know you work with couples, you also talked about family disputes, and also for our listeners, those might be having a work dispute. It's like, what do you tell people? What are some of the tips or strategies that you use to help support people in being able to come to that resolution or that place?
Well, I find that particularly in mediation, where I function in mediation, a mediator functions as an impartial, neutral third party to help people who are in dispute communicate with one another and help brainstorm ideas and help the parties generate proposals to share with one another. And hopefully the two of them, the parties in dispute, can arrive at an agreement with the help of a mediator. But the agreement is basically their agreement. I'm there to support them and maybe do some brainstorming, but I really want, since it's their agreement and they're the ones who are going to be, living up to the commitments, I really want the ideas to be theirs. So what I do is I coach them and just let them know, try not to take things personally. A lot of times people bring into disputes a lot of stuff that's going on that doesn't have anything to do with the other person. It's human nature for us to take things very personally, especially when somebody's saying you are to blame or you're the problem or it's not about me, you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to, and this is also, we'll talk a little bit more about nonviolent communication. That's also another important point, is that, try not to take things personally, even though it just seems so just second nature if somebody saying you are causing me so much unhappiness. Of course, your initial reaction is to take it personally and be very defensive. But I try to coach people to say that a lot of the stuff they're bringing in to a conflict is something that you had nothing to do with, you have no control over. So just, really just try to step back and just take a deep breath and don't let it spin you up, and try to be as supportive in hearing and trying to understand where that other person is coming from. and not have it feel like you're so responsible for their misery, even though they may be saying that directly using those words.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that you're not. They're bringing in a lot of stuff in their past that you had nothing to do with. And it just, you know, you happen to be there at the wrong time and they're all worked up about something and it's just kind of easy for them to kind of take it out on you. And then in turn, you're getting it so easy to throw back to them, and then the conflict will just escalate, it'll never end. So, yeah, I'll give people tips about trying not to take things personally. Taking the time to listen to the other person's needs, their position. Oftentimes, if you've had people who've been in conflict for years, they've stopped listening to one another, so they need a third party, a mediator in to kind of be that person to reframe words in a neutral, non-inflammatory way. And then that's like the opportunity for the other person to hear what the other person has really been trying to express for years, but they just like turned off their listening ears. But they just, you know, need that help to get the message across to the person in a way that they can actually hear it and address it and help problem solve.
That's huge. A lot of people do that. Like they turn it off, or they're hearing somebody say that was too loud, and it's like, oh, what are you saying? I'm loud? Or that's taking it personal, but also it's like this automatic, like you said, with the relationship, being able to not take things personal, and then being able to listen, to hear the other person, and not from what you think that they're going to say or what they mean underneath it. A lot of people assume that there's an underlying meaning of underneath it, and so being able
to,
that's key.
Yeah, and in nonviolent communication, what I bring into my professional and personal, you know, practice in life, it's really just trying to, you know, if somebody is barking out something that sounds really negative, you try to parse out and figure out what's the unmet need that's underlying all of that negative language and all the accusations and the blame and all that. What is that need, that universal need that we all have, the need to feel connected, the need to be connected to another person, the need to have order. Like if somebody's complaining that the house is a mess, mm-hmm. you know, there's an intrinsic need to have some order in your life. And if you're sensing that the other person isn't contributing to your need for order, then you're going to accuse them of being a slob, you know, and it's going to come out in a real negative way. But being an empathetic listener, really trying to figure out the other person is so frustrated because there is some unmet need that's going on there, and what can I do to listen, to help see what I can do to help them meet that need.
And how do you get people to get to that unmet need? You know, if I'm really upset or angry with somebody, how do you get them to connect with what's underneath the upset?
What I do is, and in nonviolent communication with empathetic listening, You provide time for the person who's venting. I mean, they could even be venting at you, saying you're an awful person, mm-hmm. you blah 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 blah. But before you engage in that conversation, just taking a few seconds and setting your intention and saying, you know, for these next few minutes, I'm really going to focus all of my energy and all my best intentions on this other person, and just trying to figure out what their unmet needs are. And as they're venting, you know, when there's a pause, then you can come in and just say, I hear you saying that you're very angry because, and you can take your best guess at what their unmet need is. And even if you're wrong, the fact that you're trying and you're really focusing on them, you could be wrong, but they're gonna know and they're gonna appreciate that you are trying to focus entirely on them and not on you and not on being defensive. So,
a
couple of rounds of that, even if you're wrong, even if initially they say, oh, you idiot, you've got it wrong. But again, don't take it personally. Try again. And you're going to move closer. And you're either going to get it right or you're going to get much closer. And you'll be able to see the other person probably breathing more deeply, calming down, maybe their face, the redness in their face starts going away because they're less angry. So they're feeling more calm. They're feeling listened to. You know, they're feeling cared for. And it's not even about problem solving. Sometimes people get annoyed when people will try to problem solve without being asked to problem solve. It's just being there, just having that open ear and listening and trying to understand where that other person's coming from and what their unmet needs might be.
Yeah. I love what you said. It's like if I actually, like, I can make this so tangible for myself as far as setting my intention to focus on the other person. Like, if I actually went into a conflict and before I walked in, if I was upset and said, okay, I'm going to set an intention here and I'm going to really focus on what the other person's saying so I can understand them. Imagine how that could transform communication if most people went into conversations with that intention or setting an intention.
Exactly. And just, again, trying not to take it personally. And nonviolent communication can work with any situation. It could work with your boss that you may be having some conflict with, work with your spouse, it can work with your kids. It can work with somebody you don't even know, a stranger on the street. Like, maybe, for instance, you didn't realize that there was somebody who was wanted a parking space, and you didn't realize that you didn't notice, and you kind of pulled right in, and they get really upset at you, and they start yelling, and they start, you know, swearing at you. You know, again, if that happens, and if you just say, rather than reacting right away and swearing back or getting really upset, you could just say, I'm going to take a deep breath. This person just yelled at me, but I'm going to take a deep breath, and I'm going to, you know, allow them to vent. They're mad at me, but, you know, they're bringing in a lot of pressure. The fact that they were really needing that parking spot and feeling very impatient, they're bringing in stuff from earlier in the day or earlier in the week. Maybe they had a fight with their spouse earlier in the morning before they went to work. You know, it really isn't about you. It just, you know, you happen to be there at a time where they were very frustrated, and they're just kind of blowing it all out on you. But just try not to take it personally. Listen to them. Respect them. In the moment, and then, you know, kind of extract yourself out of the situation as peacefully as possible, give them the space, and then you move on, and then you try not to take that negative energy, you know, try to just, you know, get yourself in a calm, centered place so you don't take negative energy to the next communication you have with the next person that you encounter. So that's the way to, you know, kind of bring peace not only to yourself, but just, you know, the ripple effects of acting peacefully and nonviolently, and how that could, you know, as more people do it, then we can be more peaceful as a, you know, as a community. I mean, that's kind of the hope, the big picture hope of how there could be ripple effect of that in doing all this type of work and helping
that's
people
really cool,
through.
Lisa.
Yeah.
And I like what you're saying, too, because when you talk about nonviolent communication, it goes beyond, like, violence. We're not talking more about just physical violence, but we're talking about aggression, it sounds like. It's when people are yelling and kind of have a, you know, a verbal violence, I guess, so to speak. It's like these tips can prevent violence, it looks like, but also any verbal assaults as well.
Aggression, of course, manifests itself in all forms. And you know, peace begins with me and the way I communicate and the way I express myself. And any little bit we can do to tweak that and make communications more effective and more dignified. And not to say that, I mean, conflict is inevitable. The fact that we're living lives and we're sharing resources, there's always going to be conflict, but how to manage it, you know, when conflict arises, how can we manage it effectively so we can resolve it quicker and we can move on and we can, you know, continue to work together. And the next conflict is going to happen, you know, soon after that. But again, it's managing one by one those conflicts that arise so we can, you know, journey through life managing those conflicts well and respecting each other.
I'm glad you said that because it's like when we talk about conflict happens, you're right. Like a lot of people might consider it, oh, I didn't do well because a conflict was created. But it's not about the conflict. It's about, you know, who you're going to be as a result of it, like how you react to it, how you manage it. And so I love some of I love these techniques that you're providing us with and ways to be able to deal with potential conflict that's arising or to even deal with a conflict that's already present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even in my work, since I focus primarily on divorce, I mean, it's completely now, being angry is a normal human emotion. So I'm not going to invalidate somebody's anger or frustration or grief that the relationship isn't working. To deny somebody's feelings of anger, of grief, of sadness, you know, that's not, that's just not an emotionally intelligent way to deal with a person's feelings. So it's taking those feelings and being able to kind of channel them effectively and moving forward. But they need, you know, people need to process their feelings because their feelings are, that is a reflection of some unmet need. It goes back to the nonviolent communication. You know, I'm feeling angry because I'm feeling misunderstood. People have that need to want to connect and feel, understood by one another. Even if not understood, listened to, and tried to be understood by another person. So taking that time is important. If not, it's just perfectly natural for somebody to be angry and frustrated and wanted to say, well, gosh, you're not meeting my need, then I'm going to walk away. I'm going to try to meet my needs by doing something that's going to make me happier. So, not trying to push those feelings under the rug. It's talking about them and trying to manage them in healthy ways. So holistic ways. I guess that goes back to the holistic problem solving.
Yeah, and when you say holistic, what aspects, I know you've talked about it a little bit, but holistic is, can you say more about that?
As an example, when a couple is going through a breakup, a divorce, for instance, some people may consider divorce a purely legal process. And so that's why they think, oh, I better get, the toughest lawyer I can to get the most I can as far as a property settlement and get the most time with the kids and, the least amount of time, my spouse getting the least amount of time with the kids. It's very adversarial, and they may think of it just purely on legal terms. But if a relationship is not working, it's so much more than that. When couples split up, not only are there legal issues, but there's highly, highly charged emotional issues. In fact, most of the issues are actually emotionally based. So there's emotional issues, there's financial issues, of course, because you've got assets that need to be divided up and money and, two households, you have to divide up resources from one household into two, which makes things very financially challenging. So holistically not only addresses what may appear to be obvious in a divorce, the legal issues, but also the emotional issues and the financial issues. And you could even say on a spiritual level, human relationships are so fragile and so sacred that, you want to find ways to resolve conflicts that will, address the goodness in you and in me and in the community. And, find ways that really we can draw on the goodness of one another and the best parts of us, rather than the parts of us that aren't as good. But I'm not to say we can't say that those not so good parts don't exist. But how do we manage working with the parts of us that are more negative, that may focus in on the pessimistic side of us? The hopeless side of us, the darker side of us.
And I love that holistic. You bring in the spiritual, you're talking about the emotional, the physical, the mental aspects of it, and that's super important, especially when you talk about divorce or mediating conflicts. It's amazing to have somebody there to support you, that's able to kind of bring in all of those levels. Like when people think of a divorce or even attorneys, it's just about getting what the client wants or whoever your client is. But I love that it's really bringing in that whole wellness, the whole person, and what you just said about honoring the fragility of human relations and being able to honor that for both parties. That's really awesome mm-hmm. that you're able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's the hope and the aspiration of everything. I mean, you know, keep in mind that some cases, you know, mediation and collaborative divorce doesn't work for all couples because there are some relationships that are really so kind of lopsided that it might not work, or if we've got domestic abuse or something that's really extreme, you know, I probably can't help because, you know, if we've got so much of an imbalance, there just might be an outcome that would be unjust. But there may be more instances that we might not consider that may be appropriate for people to talk things out and work things out. It really is dependent on the parties, but it may be more cases than we might initially think. But I can't help everyone, but I may be able to help more people than people might initially think that I could help.
Yeah, that's great. And then is there any other tips or suggestions that you can share with the audience? I mean, you shared quite a few already to empower them with being able to communicate more effectively, bringing in that holistic. Were there any other components of that or the nonviolent communication?
Let's see. Some tips I have is that I think I mentioned it earlier, but, you know, the key is knowing yourself and bringing yourself to the next level of excellence. Also, mm-hmm. in your work life, one important aspect to consider, and it was part of my journey also, is balance, having a healthy work and personal life balance. Because I can mm-hmm. say that in my work life, there were jobs and a number of years that I worked at jobs that weren't the best fit for me personally. You know, I hadn't really fully discovered my passion and acted upon it. So I was working jobs where it was, you know, not quite so fulfilling, but I did it in order to sustain myself and my family. But then also balancing it with taking time out to really discover what my passions were. And then mm-hmm. once I knew that, how can I move towards a vocation where I'm really utilizing those passions in a way that I can provide value to clients and to the community. So it wasn't an all or nothing. It wasn't, you know, have fun all the time and not work. But it also wasn't, you know, work all the time and have no fun or have no free time to discover my passions. It was trying to balance it the best way I could. At the same time raising my family, and then once I knew what my passion was, you know, having a plan to move more towards working in that area, which I would be using my passion and my gifts much more on a daily basis and earning a living that right. way. But then also, and then the other tip I had was niching my passion. Like, for instance, I knew I really wanted to help people kind of in a social work aspect, but I also used the legal training that I had and kind of geared it and niched it to this collaborative divorce practice and divorce mediation practice. I mean, I suppose I do a little bit of marital mediation, but there are a lot mm-hmm. of, marriage and family therapists out there. So I niched more on the kind of, you know, if a couple has decided, you know, that they're going to break up, unfortunately, they've already tried the marriage counseling, but they're going to break up, but let's try to, you know, uncouple in a way that's going to, you know, where we could still respect one another and we still co-parent effectively with one another. But, you know, more of my focus has been on, you know, when the relationship is ending rather than trying to save it. Although I have done marital mediations and I've done some cases where the focus was on, you know, them trying to save their marriage. But it was just that there was a lot more people doing that work. So there was more, you know, other people they could have gone to. So most of the vast majority of my practices, is, you know, they're ending their marital relationship, but they're doing it in more respectfully and more dignified.
And then I noticed, Lisa, that you used the word uncoupling. and that's kind of been the buzzword from celebrities. And is that similar to your process, or is that different?
I mean, it's a buzzword, so uncoupling, it's pretty much the same. I mean, it's a breakup, either a formal breakup, so a divorce, you know, where they a divorce decree would be needed to demonstrate that a couple is no longer legally married, or no longer. I've done some same-sex divorces or civil union where they break up, you know, they're mm-hmm. ending that type of relationship. Or it could be an informal breakup. Maybe they don't co-own property, or they don't have children. But, you know, they're going their own way, and they're trying to do it in a way that they can remain friends. So, yeah, uncoupling seems to be a popular term, but I think people kind of use it rather loosely to mean
yeah.
either a breakup the form of divorce, or, you know, a breakup
yeah.
with folks dating for a while and they decided to go their own separate ways.
Very cool. And then, Lisa, is there anything that you'd like to add to the interview that we didn't discuss? Do we cover everything?
I just wanted to I know we talked about nonviolent, compassionate communication.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, when I discovered that and the practice and practiced that in professionally and personally, you know, I really find that has really enhanced my relationship. So I wanted people out there to know about it and to learn more about it if they gravitate and they seem to be drawn to what I've been talking about. So it's a method that you learn techniques to listen more empathetically, not to offer solutions, but to really be present and try to figure out the person you're listening to, what their unmet needs are and what their feelings are. And it's also a way of expressing your needs and honoring your own feelings and needs. So there's an aspect of self-empathy where you can request of others things or tasks in a way that the other person could hear it and not react in a defensive way, but hopefully react in a way that they can assist and support you. To learn about nonviolent communication, if folks are interested, they can go to a nonprofit website that describes it in more detail and even offers up training and books and ways to learn more about it. That website is www.bnvc.org. And so, wonderful website, again, good resource if you want to find out more about nonviolent compassionate communication.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Lisa. And I know that you have a free gift for everyone, and I'd love for you to share more about that.
Oh, yes, of course. I wanted to offer up my services, a free complimentary 30-minute phone consultation for anybody who's experiencing a conflict. Most typically, I get calls again for people who are contemplating divorce or, you know, separation, but I've gotten calls with people who have had other types of conflicts. For instance, adult siblings that may be in disagreement of how to care for their aging parents. I've also had calls for employees that weren't getting along, you know, and they were trying to find ways to resolve those conflicts without – people are usually, when they call me, because they also know I'm a lawyer, they're trying to find ways to hopefully stay out of court because they want to resolve it. And they want to resolve it effectively in a way that's not going to be terribly expensive and swiftly. So, you know, I'm there to offer my ear, 30-minute phone consultation. I can give them various process options that are available to them. And, you know, and it's a sliding scale anywhere from the most extreme, you know, conflict resolution option. I don't provide these services, but, you know, litigation is a process of resolution option. It tends to be the
yeah.
most, you know, severe, but that's on one end of the scale. And then on the other end of the spectrum is the do-it-yourself, you know, self-help option, which is, you know, obviously free. And if people can talk well and have pretty good, can listen to one another, they may be able to do it on their own. And then there's the various options in between where professional assistance could be wanted or needed. And it's mostly helping them brainstorm solutions, listening to what their needs and their feelings are, and helping communicate proposals, share and exchange proposals and information so they can hopefully resolve their conflict that they're in. So I can hear, you know, what their problem is and, you know, let them know what their various process options are.
Well, this is great. And so for those of you listening, if you look below, there's going to be a link there. There is a link there that you can click directly that will take you to Lisa's free gift. And so, gosh, Lisa, where can people find you?
Okay, well, I do have a website up, and the website address is www.ponodivorce.com. That's PONODIVORCE.com. Pono in Hawaiian is loosely translated in doing things in the right, righteous way. So in Hawaii, Pono Divorce, when people hear that, they think, oh, gosh, you know, that kind of says it all. That,
yeah.
That's great. If couples can stay happily married, that's like the most ideal, of course. But if they tried and can't, you know, let's try to do it Pono. Let's try to do it in the best way possible, because that's going to be the way that's going to be the least destructive for their own families, for their children, and for the community at large. So, yeah, that's what I'm all about.
This is great.
Trying to think of the Pono way.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Lisa. We have Lisa Jacobs here for sharing with us how important it is to find peace and work in our balance with bringing in holistic problem solving and nonviolent communication. I really appreciate your tips and your wisdom here. And so for all of you listening, again, this is Phyllis Frances Wigfall here with Lisa Jacobs, encouraging you to step into your authentic power and find your peace and communication. Mm-hmm. So watch the inbox for our next interview and for the replay of this my interview here with Lisa. And thank you, everyone, and we'll see you then. We'll see you soon. Aloha.